probably when you're in that situation, you start realising what you haven't got and how underprepared and undertrained you are to a certain degree. You never really expect to be in that situation. But it can happen to anybody, whether it's you get bogged in the sand in Margaret River when you're trying to escape from a fire and you're not going to escape, or you drop a wheel down a hole somewhere in the Blackwood Valley, or a wire comes loose in your dash when you go over a bump when you're going away. And, you know, there's all different reasons why people get trapped in, can get trapped and do get trapped. But we need to actually accept that it's going to happen and make sure we've got the right training and systems in place.
You guys are experienced firefighters, and yet the fire still managed to virtually surround you.
Yeah, well, I've been doing it 25 years, and I don't think I've ever burned a finger. And the person sitting next to me, he's done it for over 35, and you couldn't get a more placid, logical person. And, we just caught when a wind squall came in. We were at the back of the fire. We weren't at the front of the fire. We'd been sitting around waiting for the fire to burn down to a fire break. There was barely any wind, and behind us on the other side of the river, there was a hop over, so we went over to it, and we had to go down about 300 metres of fire break between the river and the pines. And as we got there, it started putting water on it, which was pretty standard. The wind squall came in, and it turned all the flames and fire back over to us, which was still 200 metres away, and showered us in embers. And what that just blocked our escape route. Because there's on the riverbanks, there's a large amount of blackberries now, unfortunately. Once they lit up, there's no way you could drive through them. Mm. And so we then found, we're lucky we found a patch where there was sort of a break in the blackberries, and we parked the truck and basically just sat there for 45 minutes.
Amazing. Smoke, embers, branches, the wind, terrifying picture. How difficult in a situation like that is it not to panic?
Oh, look, there was absolutely no panic. And at all, the crew, when I say the crew, they're older than me and more experienced than me in many ways, but I was driving and I was captain, so couldn't have done a better job. And really, I don't know, I think your logical mind kicks in and you're thinking about the next step and the next step. And so, and even in the truck, we're even joking, you know, you can't let it get to you too much. And that's probably when I realised that we only had one fire blanket. And I was thinking, geez, it wouldn't have been handy to have two fire blanket each if the windows break and we need to make a run to the river.
Yep. So, in fact, there were two crew with you, so there were three altogether.
Yes.
Yep. And you all climbed back into the truck.
Yeah, we all climbed back in the truck because the heat outside was just overbearing. Like, there's no way in a million years you could... I watched my rear vision mirror melt outside the window. That's how hot it was. Like, you physically couldn't stay outside. And the truck heated up to like a dry sauna, and we were lucky because where we parked, we weren't, apart from when the fire burnt under us, which was more like a grass and dry. After that, we didn't have any direct flame contact with the truck, which is probably what saved us. It was more the intense heat being caught in the bottom of this gully, which was just on fire everywhere.
John, you talk about the one fire blanket for the three of you. What protective gear were you actually wearing? Standard gear?
Yeah. We all had our jackets and pants on and our helmet. Look, why a fire blanket's probably so important is we don't have face shields or anything like that. So if we had to get out of the truck and there was hot and embers, the fire blanket would just, all your upper body would help protect it. And one other thing I learnt is that we always must make sure there's an experienced person in every unit, even though that's basically what's done. Sometimes when there's mopping up being done and people may think it's low risk, and then everything goes bad, you need to make sure there's an experienced person in the vehicle.
I was talking to family last night, and they said, who are you going to be talking to tomorrow, Dad? And I said, one of the conversations is going to be with a fellow who found himself in a truck that was literally melting him around him. And they said, Dad, you've got to ask him, was his mobile phone still working? This is how younger people think. Did you, in fact, have a mobile phone with you, John?
Yeah, we had a mobile phone, but we're totally out of range. There's no signal at all.
Yeah.
And I didn't even take any photos at the time, which I wish I had now.
Yeah.
Because
it's funny, younger people think, you know, you've got a phone home and you've got to, you know, tell them the situation you're in.
The phone probably wouldn't have done much for us anyway.
No.
Even if it did work.
My thoughts are, I mean, when you're in a situation like that, what actually flashes before you, before your eyes? I mean, do you think of family? Do you think of, you know, your life that's been? What do you think of?
No, you think about what might happen in the next half an hour, 20 minutes, and what you'll do when it happens. So you run through scenarios. If the window breaks because it gets too hot, we picked our track down to the river, we'd go down together and you made sure your safety gear was on, even though inside the truck was absolutely boiling. You put your goggles on and all your jackets because you wouldn't have time if the windows blew in. So it was more of a logical thing of what if, and if this happened, if the truck catches light, how long are we going to stay in it for? And luckily none of that happened. It was probably because we just found that spot that gave us that little bit extra protection.
Another question, of course, that people often ponder is that when you're in a situation like that, how come, you know, if it's a petrol or even a diesel truck, how come the fuel doesn't ignite?
Yeah, well, diesel won't combust like petrol. So if it was a petrol, we would have been very worried. And as far as I know, all the trucks now are diesel. I'd be almost 100% sure of that. And I'd like to say the truck held up extremely well. I was amazed at how much heat it could take. As much as the plastic melted, the windows didn't break in, it was extremely. It was amazing as what it could hold up to. I think there's probably, you know, they could do some small improvements to the trucks and to make them a bit safer by removing some of the plastic and putting a metal guard back there. But the truck did hold up probably better than I thought it would.
So what happened? I mean, is the truck now serviceable or is it a write-off?
Well, we were able to drive it out of there, but all the flashing lights melted and everything. It was just basically all the plastic just melted and warped. And so we also, a lot of the times with volunteers, you sort of have this, or firefighters, this in the back of your mind, if anything happens, I'm going to get up in the back and set the water cannon up and it'll put an umbrella of water over the truck and that's going to protect me. Now, we found we just didn't even have no time at all to do that. And if we did, the protection probably would have been short-lived because the water gets used pretty quickly. And I would even have questioned whether any water near our windows would have caused them to shatter because they're so hot. I don't know if we would have even turned it on until something had happened. But then we'd have to get on the back to turn it on as well. We can't turn it on or off from the cab. So,
no. Yeah,
and there's a lot of things a lot of this has been talked about now because of what happened in Albany, and it's good. And the reason, probably one of the simplest things that all firefighters can do now is get fire blankets in their trucks and inside their cabs, not in their locker. Yeah.
Number one priority.
Yep, we can do that tomorrow. And because you never know. And no matter how smart you think you are, you can get bogged, you can have an electrical fault in your truck, all sorts of things can put you in that position.